I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
You know when you see a photo and the background's all dreamy and soft, and it makes the main subject really pop? You might not know the name for that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're diving into today. It's called bokeh.
Oh, bokeh.
Oh. We're going to, you know, unpack what it is, how photographers actually get that effect, and like why it adds that special something to pictures.
Cool. And where's this info coming from?
Oh, we're looking at some material from a digital photography class. Notes dated May 21st, 2025.
Got it. So the mission today, really get a handle on bokeh, what it is, how it works, why it matters artistically. Oh, and pronunciation first, because I wasn't sure. The class notes say it's okay to say bokeh.
Or bokeh, yeah, both seem pretty common.
Okay, good. So let's get into it then.
Yeah.
What is bokeh, really?
Well, the class material mentions it comes from a Japanese word. It means something like blur or haze. But importantly in photography, it's not just that something's blurry. It's more about the quality of that blur, the feel of it, you know, the character.
Right. Okay. So it's a specific kind of blur feeling, not just any old blur. Like if I see a photo of a speeding car all streaky, that's blur, but maybe not bokeh.
Exactly. That's motion blur. The class material points that out. That happens because the car's moving fast or maybe the camera moved. Different thing.
Okay. And what about just general background fuzziness, like when you focus up close?
Yeah, that's related to depth of field. You know, using a wide aperture setting gives you that shallow focus. So only a small area is sharp and the background goes soft.
But that soft background itself isn't automatically called bokeh.
Not necessarily the whole thing. Bokeh, according to these notes, really shines when you look at the out-of-focus highlights. That's where you often see those, like, soft, round balls of light. That's classic bokeh.
Oh, okay. The little circles of light. I've definitely seen those.
Yeah, and it's kind of fascinating how technical stuff like lens physics ends up creating something so artistic, right? The resource actually has this great example from something called a Photo Explorer's Safari.
Oh, yeah, I saw that mentioned. It sounded pretty neat, like a kinetic art thing.
Mm-hmm. Lots of moving parts, colorful bits, catching the light. Sounds like a perfect place to play with focus.
So what did the photographer do?
Well, the technique described was pretty clever. They focused on something super close, like literally the toe of their shoe. And then they framed the shot so that colorful moving sculpture was way in the background, totally out of focus.
Okay, so the sculpture becomes the blur.
Exactly. And the result was apparently this image just full of those soft, round, out of focus highlights, the bokeh balls.
Making the background look almost magical or something, dreamy.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. Dreamy. It really separates the subject, too. It makes the sharp part stand out against that soft background.
So it's not just pretty. It helps guide your eye.
Definitely. It's a compositional tool. Now, they also had another example, a bit more subtle.
Okay.
A picture of a butterfly on a flower, shot from kind of close, looking down.
Right. I remember reading that. And the background had, like, shiny mulch or something.
Yeah. Bits of mulch catching the light. So the butterfly is sharp, obviously. But in parts of the background, like the corners, you could see those little mulch highlights turning into soft, blurry circles again.
Ah, more bokeh, but maybe less dramatic than the art installation.
Exactly. And in this case, the notes pointed out how it added like a touch of beauty, a little sparkle, made the background feel a bit whimsical, maybe, without being distracting. It supported the main subject, the butterfly.
Okay, so it can be bold or subtle. What actually makes the bokeh look the way it does? Like, why is it sometimes round, sometimes maybe different?
Good question. The class material points to a few things. One is the lens itself, how it's built. There's something called spherical aberration, which is technically an imperfection. But sometimes how a lens handles that can actually lead to smoother, nicer looking bokeh.
Huh, interesting. An imperfection making things look better.
Kinda, yeah. Another big factor is the aperture blades inside the lens.
Right, the things that open and close to let light in. How do they affect bokeh?
Well, the number of blades matters, and also how wide open the aperture is. The notes say that generally, shooting with the aperture wide open gives you rounder bokeh.
Because the hole is more like a circle, then.
Precisely. But as you stop down, make the aperture smaller, the opening starts to look more like a polygon, you know? Because you see the edges of those blades.
Ah, and that shape influences the shape of the bokeh highlights.
Exactly. So if you stop down a lot, Those nice round balls might start looking a bit like hexagons or octagons, depending on the lens blades.
Okay, now that is cool. Because that means you can sort of control it.
Totally. It gets really creative here. The material explains that since the aperture shape makes the bokeh shape,
you could change the shape deliberately.
You got it. People actually make or buy little masks with shapes cut out like hearts or stars. You put it over the lens, and boom, your out-of-focus highlights turn into little hearts or stars.
No way. That's awesome. So you can literally have heart-shaped lights twinkling in your background blur.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun technique. Really shows how much thought can go into every part of the image, even the blurry bits.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this is from a photography class, so I guess they connect this back to basics.
They do, briefly. They mention their, like, Photography 1 class covers the fundamentals, shutter speed, aperture, exposure, you know, the basics.
Technical stuff you need first.
Right. And then they mention a Photography 2 class that gets more into the artistic side, the principles of making images that really work. And understanding bokeh, how to use it creatively, that would definitely fit into the more artistic side of things.
Makes sense. So let's kind of wrap this up. Bokeh isn't just blur.
Nope. It's the quality, the aesthetic feel of the out-of-focus areas.
Especially how those little points of light, the highlights, look back there. Often soft, often round.
But sometimes shaped, either by the aperture blades or even on purpose with masks. And it's affected by the lens design, the aperture setting.
Giving photographers another tool, really. Another way to add feeling or impact.
Exactly. It can enhance the mood, separate the subject, add visual interest. Lots of possibilities.
Well, this deep dive definitely makes me want to go out and try to capture some nice bokeh myself. The class material encourages that, too.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to experiment with.
And maybe it makes you think, too. We always obsess about sharpness, right? Getting things perfectly in focus.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe think about how playing with the out-of-focus parts, like creating beautiful bokeh, can totally change how a photo feels.
That's a great point. It goes way beyond just sharp versus blurry.
Yeah.
What other subtle things besides just focus and bokeh might be working on us when we look at a picture, shaping how we react without us even realizing it?